morning we're going to continue on part four of Dreamers of the Bible.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Pray together with me as we dig into God's Word. Father, thank you again for another day to hear your Word. We are blessed, Lord, that we can do that and we can do it openly. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to ask that you bless it. Paul, your servant, said that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, would be open. So now we're asking that same prayer, God. Open our eyes to your truth, your heart. In Jesus' name, God's people said amen. Amen. All right. This morning, we're going to continue on part four of Dreamers of the Bible. How many of you have enjoyed that so far? Dreamers of the Bible, and I know several have contacted me regarding that. And again, today after our service, there is going to be the meeting afterwards. So if you are interested, they have everything prepared back there. But this morning, we're going to continue on, and our base text, Joel chapter 2. So if you jump over with me to that small book of Joel chapter 2. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I want you to understand something, that when God makes promises like this in His Word, does He ever back away from those? See, that's the one thing about God, that when He says something, you can count on it. Amen? For an example, when He says, I go to prepare a place for you, if it were not so, I would have told you, in my Father's house there are many mansions. How many of you believe that? That there are many mansions, that He is there working on them right now for you. And we can count on that with everything that is within us. And when God says that He will pour out His Spirit, that means that He is going to do it. And I'm so impressed by what God has done so far within us. But how many of you know it ain't over yet? God is just beginning in these last days. Listen, don't get so excited about when you see all these things happening that seem to be evil around you. Begin to rejoice over that, because God's pouring out and He will begin to pour out His Spirit. We're going to see more miracles. We're going to see more of His outpouring. We're going to see miraculous things. We're going to see things in the Spirit happening. And this is the promise of God. And that it will happen to who? Who would happen to? Us! Amen? Amen. Listen, don't exempt yourself and don't say, well, that's just for the spiritual people. That's just for Pastor Jerry to have the dreams and the interpretation of the dreams. That's just for Patty. That's just for Jane. That's just for Wanda. No, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and especially those who are willing to say, God, would you use me? God, would you have your way in me? Do you know how many people are sitting in churches that they just come to get the fix to say, well, I went to church? They're not sitting in church saying, God, have your way in me. Work what you want to in me, God. Because they're afraid that God might actually take them up on that. So how many of you are saying, God, have your way in me? Come on, raise your hands if that's you. I'm not ashamed. God, have your way in me. And when you ask God to have his way in you, he will, if you allow him to. And I love that psalm that we just did. I surrender all. And so many people say, I surrender all except for fill in the blank. God, I love you, but I will never go into that area. God, I love you, but I will never speak or give to this because it's mine. See, that's closing your heart to God. So when you say, God, I surrender all, Barb, you're saying, it all. I'm surrendering my life, Lee. I'm surrendering my time. I'm surrendering my money. I'm surrendering everything that God has given me and trusted me with. Now, we're going to continue on in these dreams here because in the last days, your old men will dream dreams, your young men see visions. And the last few weeks, we've been talking about how God uses dreams and what he does with those dreams, and I've talked about several of those things. If you missed it, go back and watch. And I'm hoping that Stephanie and Dave, you can still watch online and see some of the old stuff that's on there. And I know they're busy at work. And but today we're going to be talking, hopefully, if I can get through these two things, because there's a lot to cover today. So we're going to be talking about how today dreams, number one, dreams can reveal what will happen in the near or distant future. Okay? So in other words, God uses dreams and he will speak to some of us to tell us what will happen in the future. Now, remember this, though, that when God speaks or he gives a dream of what might happen in the future, it does not necessarily mean that it's going to happen tomorrow. Okay? Pay particular attention to that. Because we are very short-sighted as humans. And we think if God gives us a dream, it's happening tomorrow or right now. Not necessarily. We're going to be talking about that. But we will be talking about how God reveals what will happen. And the next thing I'm hoping I get to is that dreams can inform a person or a group to do something. Okay? So I'm hoping now you get these couple things, and we're going to talk about them. First one, dreams reveal what will happen in the near or distant future. And we're going to look at all these things because we need to make sure that they are scriptural and that they follow along God's path and God's word. So the very first one that I want to look at with this is found back in Genesis chapter 37. So if you jump back with me in Genesis chapter 37, we're going to be speaking about a man named Joseph here. How many of you have heard about him before? So we're going to be digging into this, chapter 37, reading several verses here. We're going to start in verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. How many remember that? Okay, that goes back Sunday school class, whatever. Joseph and his coat of many colors. Now, the bad part about this right here is that we find out that Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons. How many of you know that's a recipe for disaster right there? Okay? When you love one of your children more than the other and you say, well, you're dog meat. You know, I don't like you. But I'm going to treat this one special here. Okay? So we have an immediate problem right there. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Can you blame them here? Okay. Now some of you say, well, that's not the Christian thing to do. Well, look at what they were raised in here. And Joseph was treated so well. Now, verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now, when we hear the dream, you're going to find out, first of all, I believe that this is Joseph taunting his brethren. Okay? Never, here's number one lesson in this. And God gives you a dream. Don't taunt somebody else with it. Because there's purposes for the dream that God wants you to use the dream for. Now, here's his dream. He said to them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed." I think he was just right in their face just telling them this dream, okay? "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and it stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. All right, so you get the dream here. He's dreaming they're binding sheaves of wheat in the field. We can kind of correlate it maybe to how many of you have some corn stalks that you put out for dressing up your house during fall. Anybody? Of course, we know Laura and Rick. Okay. Bill, good to see you, brother. I just saw you back there. But if you're binding those together, how many of you know that they don't just stand up on your porch? You have to tie them together, and you know, that's usually my job, tying those together and making sure they stand up right, because there's nothing like corn stalks that just keep falling down in the wind, you know. But let's just say that Patty and I get several of you, and we're out there, we're cutting these things down, and we're tying them together, and then they're all laying on the ground. And then all of a sudden, mine rises up, and Patty's makes obeisance to mine. And all the rest of you that I chose, how would you feel? Okay? And so this is the dream that Joseph has. And so that's dream number one here that he has. And And then he dreamed yet another dream, verse 9. And he told it to his brethren again, right? They're already hating him. And said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream, another one. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him. Said, "Look here, boy, that's, you've gone far enough with your brothers. Now you're saying something a little different here. What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brethren indeed come and bow ourselves down to you to the earth?" So we've got two dreams going on right here. And again, let's look at dream number one. Remember what I spoke to you about as far as dreams go, that if you jump back with me, Numbers chapter 12, or jump forward here in this particular case, what we spoke about there in Numbers chapter 12, and this was when Aaron and Miriam came and said, you know, "What about this Moses? How about not us taking control?" And this was God's response in verse 6. And he said, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream." Then look at verse 8. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently talking about Moses, and not in dark speeches. Okay, remember we talked about that? Dark speeches mean hidden meanings or riddles, and can also now mean symbols, that God will speak in dreams using symbols. Okay, so let's look at the symbols that God used in these two dreams. He used what? The sheaves. These were symbols that were used in dream number one. Now in dream number two, what are the symbols that were used in dream number two? The sun and the moon, right? And the stars were used in dream number two. So oftentimes within the dreams that God gives us, they are in dark speeches or with symbols that are used. And so the important thing here is to understand that in this particular case, the sheaves were his brothers, right? And the stars represented the brothers. And of course, the sun and the moon represented father and mother here. So in dreams, according to the scriptures now, one of the things that we can recognize is that stars oftentimes are a symbol for people. All right, for those representing people in dreams. Now, a similar representation of this same stars business, if you remember, jump over with me to the last book in your Bible. You should be able to find that really easy, the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, here's what we see here. John the Revelator had seen in this vision and saw several things. In verse 20 says, "The mystery of the seven stars which you have seen in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which you saw are the seven churches." But I want to major in on the seven stars. That word actually means the seven, the angels there are the leadership of those churches. Okay? Now, because remember, if it were real angels, the real angels would not be leading these churches, and the real angels wouldn't have the problems that were associated in the churches that Jesus goes on to talk about. So these angels that he refers to are the leadership at that particular time of each church age. So people, so in the dreams and in these visions, stars can often represent people and leadership. Now, what's different though, and these two different dreams here that he has, sheaves were his brethren in one, right, and stars were the brethren in the other. So what's really important here to get is that dream interpretation belongs to who? Belongs to God. It's very, very important that we understand that. Okay? Now, in the dream, we're not going to read it, but how many of you know from reading your scriptures that that actually happens? Okay? That his brothers do make obeisance to him because Joseph becomes second-hand man to Pharaoh, and he's the one that gets all the grains together and everything, and his family does come, and they end up making obeisance to him. So this is a foretelling of what is going to happen. But, again, remember I mentioned earlier, does this happen right away? We know it doesn't, because how old do you think Joseph was when he dreamed this dream? Anybody have a clue? He was around 17 years old. Did anybody guess that? Okay. All right. So he was around 16, 17 years old. So this tells us something else, that God can speak to anybody. He can speak to a 16-year-old. He can speak to a 17-year-old as well as he can speak to an 80-year-old or a 70-year-old or a 60-year-old. So God can speak to our young people and tell of what is going to come in the future. Because I know what things the Lord has said to me, and many of those things were when I was young. Just coming into the ministry at 17, 18 years of age, and God was speaking those things. But when did Joseph's brethren and his father actually come and bow before him? He was in his late 30s when that took place. So you do the math. How many years was it? Approximately 20 years later, okay, that the fulfillment of the dream actually came. Now, there was a lot of stuff that Joseph had to go through in between the dream. So listen, when God speaks something in a dream to you, you must hold on to that. And it's what I always call, you take the dream and you put it up on the shelf for when it's time for God to bring that to pass. Don't throw it out, okay? Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater is what we say, right? Hold on to it and ponder what God has spoken to you, because it will come to pass if God gives you the dream. That's really important. So, and I spoke about dream interpretation belonging unto the Lord. So I want you to go back with me to the book of Genesis again. I should have had you hold your place right there. But we are now going to look at another dream that takes place with Joseph. And this is in chapter 40 now. Chapter 40, starting at verse 8. It has to do with Joseph, not his dream. But in Genesis chapter 40, verse 8, you recall this to pass. This is something that happens to him. He ends up in a dungeon. He ends up in prison. And here comes, there's a butler down there. And they said unto him, verse 8, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpretation of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? All right. Important point. I really want to stress this. Do not go around interpreting people's dreams based on what you think. Are you listening to me? This is a special gifting that God gives, just like any of his other giftings. But there's a lot of people today that are making a lot of money of proclaiming that they are interpreters of dreams. And people will go and spend their money on these individuals and say, I will interpret your dream for you. Because you know what? Human beings, we somewhat are drawn to the supernatural. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, we're drawn to that, and you know, we want to know what's out there, and you know, stuff that other people don't see and all this stuff. So, but it's very important that we understand that dream interpretation comes from God Himself. So don't go around interpreting people's dreams unless God has specifically given you that particular gifting. And God shows you that. You know, it's very important, and God has used me in the past, but there are many times that people might share something with me that just because God has used me in the past to help in an interpretation of a dream doesn't mean that I can interpret every dream. It's just like the gift of healing. Let's say I can lay hands on the sick. God's given me that gift of healing. And someone gets healed. Does that mean everyone is going to get healed in the flesh? No. It's not the way that it works. So, you know, there have been people in the past that have said, well, you know, you interpreted this for someone else. Here's my dream. Interpret it. And you know what I tell them? I got nothing. Unless God gives the interpretation, then I'll give it, if it is. But don't be bringing dreams to me and say, well, interpret this dream for me. Okay? Because as Joseph said, interpretations belong to God. And the chief butler told him the dream to Joseph. And he said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, I pressed them into the Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup to Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. That's very important. How does Joseph know the interpretation of it? Because God told him. Now, if God speaks it and you have that gift, then you can confidently say, this is the interpretation of the dream. Okay? And that's exactly what he did. The three branches are 3 days. And yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head and restore you to the place, and you will deliver Pharaoh's cup to his hand after the former manner when you were his butler. Now that's a pretty good dream for the butler, right? Yeah. The butler is saying, yes, I'm getting out of this dungeon. I'm getting out of this prison, and I'm going to be restored back to my former glory. Great dream. Now, but then he says, but, you know, after that happens, I want you to think on me and show me kindness and make mention to Pharaoh about me being down here to bring me out of this house. Joseph was trying everything, right? He said, get me out of here. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of Hebrews, and here I've done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon, but God had a plan. Come on now, folks. Many of us like the wine. That's a little side note on this sermon. We like the wine about where we're at. What did I do to belong here? What did I ever do to deserve what I'm going through right now? But if you believe the word of God, he says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. In other words, God put him there for purpose. Now, when the chief butler saw the interpretation was good, what do you think he's going to do? Hey, Joseph, listen, I had a dream too, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And the uppermost basket were all kind of baked meats for Pharaoh, and out of that basket was upon my head, and Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head off of you and will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh off of you. What do you think he's saying? I think you missed God on this one, Joseph. Let's try it again. Okay. You missed the interpretation on that. But see, the dreams were given to show what was going to come in the future. Now, this one, these 2 dreams, they immediately took place within the 3 days because that was the interpretation. And again, let's come back to interpretations belong to God, because in the 2 dreams that these 2 individuals had, Lee, one of them had 3 baskets, right? And the other one had like 3 buds. They were different. But they both represented 3 days, so the interpretation had to come from God. Sometimes the symbols won't be the same within the dreams. So you can't say, well, because, you know, the symbol was this, in my dream it's going to be exactly the same. You understand what I'm saying? Oftentimes, for an example, with stars, it may be people within that. But sometimes there's different symbols, and it takes God in the interpretation of the dream. Important to remember that. Now, God has to open our eyes. important that God gives us the interpretation. It has to be anointed by God, and God has to open the eyes of the one that is given that gift to be able to interpret the dreams. I want to share a couple scriptures with you as far as interpretation of the dreams and how we understand this. There is Daniel chapter 2 that I want to go to first. Daniel chapter 2. Now this has to do with Nebuchadnezzar's dream. How many are familiar with Nebuchadnezzar's dream? We won't go through the entire thing, but I want you to start in verse 12. For this thing the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon because they couldn't tell him what his dream was. That's a tough one, right, Paula? You got somebody who says, I dreamed a dream. I want you to tell me what the dream was and tell me what the interpretation was, Wanda. Can you do it? What did I dream last night? I know I dreamed it, Wanda, but I want you to tell me what it was. Can you do it? All right. Sheila, I dreamed a dream last night. What was it? Lee, can you tell me what my dream was last night? Shauna, I know you can. Dave? And this is what was happening, was going to all of his wise men, and they're like, hey, man, this is crazy. If you tell us the dream, Philip, I know you can tell me what I dreamed last night. That's a good guess, but it's not it. That's not a dream. That's reality. Okay. Okay. All right. All right. All right, fine. None of you can tell me what I dreamed last night. Guess what? You're all gone. The hatchet is coming to you all tomorrow. Especially you, Philip, right? Now, the problem was, is Daniel was included in that group of the wise men. And so, the decree goes forth that the wise men should be slain, and Daniel and his fellows slain as well. And Daniel answered with the counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men. And he said to him, Arioch, you know, why is this decree so hasty from the king? And Arioch made the thing made known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time and that he would show the dream to the king and the interpretation. Now, do you think that's stepping out on faith? I think so. Right. Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You guys have all heard of them, haven't you not? Who are they? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, right? But those were their names given by the king. These were their Hebrew names. So he goes back to his three buddies, his companions at his house, and says, we got a problem, right? That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, and Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men at Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that have understanding. He reveals the deep secrets of God. Amen. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, that you have given me wisdom and might, and you have made known unto me now what was desired. How many of you know it wasn't Daniel that came up with the interpretation. It was God that gave the interpretation to him. So remember what Joseph said, interpretations belong to God. There's one other scripture that I want to show you, and that's over in the book of Amos. Some of you have gone to the book of Amos a lot, right? How many of you know where the book of Amos is at? Okay. It's right after the book of Joel. Okay. You were there earlier in the book of Joel. And this is a really interesting scripture here in Amos chapter 3. And Amos is saying in verse 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord has not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing except he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Do you get that? Surely the Lord will do nothing except he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. The lions roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, and who can but prophesy? In other words, if there is something that is going to take place and it affects the people of God, God is going to give it in a vision or a dream, and he's going to show it to his people so that something can be done. Because he knows it's coming. It's a supernatural thing that God reveals to his people. And God will do it again if he needs to. Amen?
Amen.
So oftentimes, God will reveal certain things to individuals. And in dreams that you dream it, you hear it from God, the interpretation might come. And that something is going to happen drastically down the line that the church needs to be prepared for, and or an individual needs to change his or her ways, that God is showing that to you. Because God is saying this is something that will be revealed in the future. There's another example, if you turn back, and I'm running out of time here, my goodness, Genesis chapter 41, and this particular dream here that's found in chapter 41, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed a dream. Behold, he stands by the river, and there came up out of the river 7 well-favored cattle, and they were fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kind came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the river, the other kind on the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed kind did eat up the 7 well-favored fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept, and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up on one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. The 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. All right. Now, one of the things that we find out here, of course, with the interpretation of this dream in verses 15 through 32, is that there were 7 years of famine that were coming. And Joseph was able to interpret that dream, which then put him into the leadership. But God had a plan for the interpretation of the dream, and that was to protect the family of God. In other words, to protect the Hebrew people from dying through this famine. So again, here you see why God brought it forth and why God... Now, here's an interesting part. Was this a godly man that had the dream? No, it wasn't. It was King Nebuchadnezzar. So God can give dreams to ungodly people. And there are reasons that God will do that. It doesn't have to be just, you know, some godly man or woman that's been a believer in Christ for 48 years. God can do whatever He wants to do. And God showed this here. Often, now here's one point that I want to make from this dream, and then I'm going to move on to the second point. He had two dreams, but both of those dreams meant exactly the same thing. God oftentimes will do this in our dreams, where there will be a second dream that is a repetitive type of dream that is saying the exact same thing. And it all has to do with confirmations with God. Because out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, something shall be established. And I think sometimes it also has to do with sometimes we just don't get it, right? How many of you are in that arena sometimes? God may speak something to us and we just don't get it. So God may speak it again. You know what? God's not just going to say, well, I gave you a dream. Guess what? You didn't get it. You know, He's going to be faithful to show, especially when you have a heart to say, God, I'll be whatever you want me to be. And if this is how you want me to be used, then I'm here. But He understands the frailties of all of us. Is there any perfect people in here? How many of you spiritually understand everything? Oh, I'm going to put my hands down. Because I don't. But I do know that God oftentimes will do this. If you have a repetitive type of dream, God may be speaking the exact same thing to you. And God does this for the good of His people. How many of you remember Romans 8:28? And God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him. Right? Who are the called according to His purposes and His grace. Amen? So God will give these dreams because of that. Point number two, I will move on and I won't take quite as long with this, Barb. Okay? I promise. Okay? It will only be 30 minutes. Right, Lee? Okay. Good. Kidding. All right, listen. Dreams. There's the second point in today's message. Dreams can inform a person or a group of something that they need to do. In other words, God is using the dream to say, I want you to do this or to do that or to move in this direction, to stop moving in that direction. Okay? God will use our dreams to do this because He loves us and He is operating. Remember, the whole counsel of God, and God says that He is causing all things to work together for our good. God is not interested in you getting yourself in a bad position. He is interested in guiding us and guiding our steps. So I want to bring another Joseph. Today is Joseph Sunday. We're going to go to the book of Matthew, and you may know who I'm speaking about here right now. This would be what Joseph? Can anybody tell me? In the book of Matthew. Mary's Joseph, right? The father or stepfather of Jesus. Now, there are several things here. Joseph, the father of Jesus, was a dreamer. And it is very much recorded here in Matthew's Gospel. And we're going to take a look at that. Matthew chapter 1 right now. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they were come together, she was found of child with the Holy Ghost. Okay? For those of you that do not understand this, this is a very bad thing in Hebrew culture. Joseph was engaged, which is not like today where you're engaged, you're not legally married yet. In Hebrew custom, when you were engaged, that was legal. Okay? You were already married. Now, Mary comes up pregnant. This is a bad deal. Right? This is exactly the same in his mind as She cheated on me. There is adultery that's involved here. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make a public example out of her, was minded to put her away privately. Okay, this being a just man, look, he could have brought her before the entire city and the entire Jewish council and said, look at this woman. Do away with her. But he didn't do it. Think about who God chose now to be the stepfather of Jesus, the earthly father, and what kind of a man he was. We knew he was a just man. And because of that, the next thing that we find out, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So the angel of the Lord, and many times when the angel of the Lord is brought into a passage like this, this was God himself that was speaking and coming and giving him this knowledge and saying, Joseph, don't do this. You take her and you get married to her. Can you imagine? This is based on a dream, what he did. What he did, because the Lord was speaking to him and guiding him. I want you to see the guiding hand that has taken place. How many of you are glad that Joseph paid attention to the dream? Okay? Joseph paid attention to this dream. And there we see it. She shall bring forth a son. His name will be called Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took him his wife. Okay? Number one, we know that Joseph heard of and he listened to what the dream was saying. Can somebody thank God for that this morning? Now, God gave him divine instruction here to take Mary as his wife. Now, the next dream that we're going to see is in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 19. But when Herod was dead, okay, you guys, you all remember what happens here in the story, right? Herod wants to put all these two-year-old children to death. Now we're going to pick this up. Chapter 2, verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now who's being spoken to? The wise men, right? God is speaking and will, you know, he's no respecter of persons. These are people that are traveling and God speaks to them in dreams. They're probably laying on straw most of their nights and God speaks to them. There's more. Matthew chapter 2 again. Now look at verse 19. This is Joseph. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Because remember, he was instructed to go away over into Egypt. God was doing this through series of dreams and speaking to him. And now he tells him, listen, Herod is dead. How would he have known that? There's no email, Philip. He'd moved his young family over to Egypt, which in itself, they're Hebrew people over in an ungodly country. And God is protecting them. And now God sends his own email through a dream. And he says, Joseph, Herod's dead. Arise, take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside to the parts of Galilee. This was not just one dream, okay? David, he had a dream, and the dream said, go, take the family back to Israel. He went back to Israel, and not exactly sure where he was going to settle at. He knows, he's heard by word of mouth now that Herod's son is on the throne, and he was kind of afraid of that. And so again, a dream comes, and the Lord says, go to Galilee. And again, this was all based on what God's plan was for Jesus to come out of where? Out of Galilee. And so one of the things that we hear so strong in these passages is that God was directing the path of Joseph. Now, how many of you think God can direct your paths through dreams? He can do it. He can do it, and He will guide us. And God can speak to us through those dreams. Somebody say amen. Directing our paths through those. I want to read one last scripture that has to do with God directing our paths through our dreams in the evening time. Now, there were others that dreamed in the scriptures. We're only told about some of them, but I want you to look at Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16, verse 7. Here in the Psalms, it says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in night seasons. Or my heart is instructed in the night seasons. This particular writer of this psalm understood this as well. That oftentimes in the night seasons, God speaks to us. And sometimes I've often wondered about that as well. Why in the night seasons may God speak to us? And especially with us today in the United States of America, do you know we are the busiest people on earth? Somehow, we always have something to do. Unlike other cultures, which give time and meditate and think about the things of God, we're so busy with everything that we have to do. I think sometimes that God speaks to us in the evening times because of that, through our dreams. Because we're too busy. I hope that we can get away from that. And I like to say, God, yeah, I like for you to speak to me in the daytime too. That He wouldn't necessarily have to do that in the evening time. But we have learned today that dreams can reveal future events to happen. And we've also learned dreams can reveal where God is instructing us to go. And giving us instructions on how we should go and where we should go and inform us to do something. Amen? Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for the understanding of it that You are giving to us through these dreams that we have so often heard about in Scripture. But we're learning more about those things and how You speak to us, God. Today, I'm going to ask that we would open up our hearts to hear truly from You, God, and that we would set our hearts to hear from You. And God, that when You do speak to us in dreams, that we, God, would be open to hear from You. as to what you're calling us to do. And again, Lord, we thank you and we give you praise for that. But we will wait upon you, because your word says that those that wait upon you will renew their strength. And Lord, one more thing I'd like to thank you for is that you never leave us or forsake us. I praise you for that, Lord. And we'll give you thanks and give you praise in Jesus' name for this word. God's people said, amen and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.